Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another wonderful episode of the Silsila, the Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, whichever city, whichever country, we are hoping that yourself and your family are safe and sound. Remember the Ummah in your du'as, because in some part of the world, you may hear, you may read about the difficulties that the Ummah is facing in different parts of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ease their sufferings, remove their trials and tribulations, and protect them against the oppressors. We have another lovely topic of discussion to further empower us, to make us aware. And today we are going to be discussing about Shaytan, Satan, Lucifer, Iblis, the cursed and humiliated one, that Satan is the open enemy. An open enemy, Allahu Akbar. We're going to learn a little bit about him and how he employs his different machinations and his different trickeries and traps in order to destroy a person. But before we go into that discussion, as always, let's remember the beautiful hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini Khayrum Min Amalihi. This is very important for us. If we want to increase our rewards through the mercy of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, then we need to make good intentions. Good intentions will help one to gain more thawab, more rewards from the merciful God of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make some now. O Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to this silsila of Madani Channel for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm watching and listening to seek knowledge of deen, so that I may practice upon it and share with others as well. Subhanallah azza wa jal. But let us make firm intentions, sincere intentions, that we will try to practice. And if, you know, I may forget at the end of this program, the silsila, many things I may not remember. So it is important to have a diary, have a notebook, and jot down the important Madani pearls, the important advices, so we can always refer to it at a later stage and share this with our family members. This is so important, with our family members, with our spouse, with our children, our parents, our siblings, and other Muslims, so that they also benefit, inshallah, azza wa jal. There are so many wonderful blessings for reciting salawat, durud-e pak, salutations upon the cause of creation, the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our most merciful master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in a summary of a narration that the closest person to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment will be that person who would have recited an abundance of durud-e pak in the dunya. What is my condition? Would I fall in that category? Do I recite Durud-e Pak? How many times do I recite Durud-e Pak? The Mashaikh and Sufiya, the pious elders, have mentioned that we should aim for a minimum of 313 times Durud-e Pak daily. Because this, they have worked out, would include a person amongst those who recite Durud-e Pak in abundance. And by virtue of that, they would be the closest to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Qiyamah, to the mercy of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And once again, dedicate some time. Dedicate some time to recite the glorious Quran. That is Kalamullah. Those are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is giving us instructions, commandments. and guidance as well. Don't forget to recite an abundance of Durood-e Pak and Salawat. This is one of the best ways of getting du'as answered as well. Whenever you make du'a, always include at least one Durood Sharif. Dhikrullah, this is spiritual food for us. Also don't forget istighfar. We are confirmed sinners, we know our reality. But every day make istighfar. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and seek knowledge of deen from authentic sources. And Dawud Islami provides that as well. There is a wonderful kalam, Ay Akhiri Nabi. Let's listen, inshallah, so we'll get some inspiration and we'll be right back with our topic of discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Aqa bulalo Madine, Aqa bulalo Madine, Gumbade Khazra dikha Akhiri Nabi. Gumbade Khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi meethe Madine mein bulaye aakhri nabi phir Gumbade Khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi meethe Madine mein bulaye aakhri nabi phir Gumbade Khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi aakar karu rote hue Kaabe ka main tawaf aakar karu rote hue Kaabe ka main tawaf Makke ke jalwe phir dikhaye aakhri nabi phir Gumbade Khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi meethe Madine mein bulaye aakhri nabi phir Gumbade Khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi mere Madine ki mujhe taufeeq chahiye rab ki ibadat ki mujhe taufeeq chahiye farmaiye haq se dua hai aakhri nabi phir gumbade khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi meethe madine mein bulaye phir Gumbade Khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi aqa bulalo Madine aqa bulalo Madine aqa bulalo Madine aqa bulalo Madine baad aapke ghar gizna aayega nabi naya ke hargiz na aayega nabi naya wallah ghaima hai mera hai aakhri nabi phir Gumbade Khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi meethe Madine mein bulaye aakhri nabi phir Gumbade Khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi meethe Gumbade Khazra bulaye aakhri nabi phir Gumbade Khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi aqa sunagri jaaniyon ke roobaru ho kaash aqa sunagri jaaniyon ke roobaru ho kaash imaan pe mera khatma hai aakhri nabi phir Gumbade Khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi meethe Madine mein bulaye aakhri nabi phir گنبد خضرا دکھا اے آخری نبی شفاعت کی مجھے خیرات خیر سے دے دے شفاعت کی مجھے خیرات خیر سے روز قیامت بخشوائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی آقا بلالو مدینے آقا بلالو مدینے آقا بلالو مدینے آقا بلالو مدینے اب وقت رحلت آ گیا عطار زار کا اب وقت رحلت آ گیا عطار زار کا جلوہ دکھا کلمہ پڑا اے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی گنبد خضرا بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, I'm sure that you enjoyed that wonderful kalam. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala infused the love of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deep into our hearts and into the hearts of our offspring and future generations as well. May Allah Jalla Jalaluhu take us for Hajj and Umrah time and again. Take us to visit Medina Sharif, Aqsa Sharif time and again. Ameen bijahi khatam al-Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are talking about shaitan, Satan, who is the open enemy of human beings. He has enmity for humans, in particular for believers, for Muslims, for those of us who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Satan, there is a misconception amongst several people or several groups of people, but from our little experience, we have found out that many youngsters have this misconception that shaitan, Satan, Iblis, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, the devil, the demon, that he is a fallen angel. That is not an Islamic belief. That is not an Islamic concept. That perhaps other people with other beliefs, other than Muslims, they may have that belief. But for you and I, we need to know these basic things, because if we believe that he's a fallen angel, then we are going against the teachings of Islam. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly mentioned that angels were created from light, from nur, and Iblis, shaitan, the big shaitan, he was created from fire, from nar. So are the jinn. He's from amongst the jinn kind. The jinn kind are created from smokeless fire. And shaitan, Iblis, he is from them as well. Now, himself, shaitan, at one stage, he was favored in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before he was declared as unfortunate and accursed, you know, his physical features, his features were very handsome. He was beautiful. He had immense knowledge granted to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He worshipped a lot. And he was the leader of angels. He was a teacher of angels. And he had an esteemed high rank amongst the angels, although himself not being an angel. Before he became the leader of angels, Iblis, who is referred to as Shaitan, Satan, he was in charge of looking after the treasures of heaven for 40,000 years. Allahu Akbar. He was with the angels for 80,000 years. He would give the angels bayan. He would talk to them, give them like sermons for 20,000 years. He was the leader of the angels close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Jibra'il, Amin alayhi salam, Israel alayhi salam, and others for 30,000 years. He was the leader of the ruhaniyin. That is specific angels of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu whose faces are brighter than the sun and moon. For 1,000 years, he was their leader. He made tawaf of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne of Allah, for 14,000 years. Look at the names that he had in the first sky. His name was Abid. On the second sky, his name was Zahid. The third sky, Arif. Fourth sky, Wali. Fifth sky, Taqi. Sixth sky, Khazin. And in the seventh sky, his name was Azazil. But little did he know, in Lohe Mahfuz, the protected tablet, his name was written as Iblis. Hopeless of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't know his fate. And you and I must worry about the hidden plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. He was completely mahroom and hopeless of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a point to add here, that when a person passes away, we say marhoom, marhoom. Marhoom means that may Allah have mercy on the person. But some people, without realizing it, they say mahroom, mahroom. So avoid this. Mahroom is one who is deprived of the mercy of Allah. And marhoom, marhoom, meem ra, marhoom, is one that we are hopeful that the mercy of Allah showers upon them. Okay, so marhoom for the deceased, and mahroom like shaitan, deprived of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah Jalla Jalaluhu ordered the malaika, ordered the angels, and ordered shaitan to make sajda to Nabi Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, this was a sajda of ta'zeem, of respect. What did he say? He questioned Allah and he said, "Oh Allah, you have granted me superiority. You have granted me a high rank, but now you are giving him superiority over me. I am better than him. You created me from fire and him from clay, from soil, sand. How can I make sajda to a human made of clay when I am made of fire?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, "I do what I will." All of the angels, they made sajda towards Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Besides this, cursed and humiliated and disgraced shaitan, the outcast. He did not make sajda out of his arrogance. "I am better than him." Out of his arrogance. So the angels, they prostrated again. They went into sajda again out of gratitude and shukr to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And shaitan, he remains standing there proudly, independent, with no regret, no remorse for his action. And because of his arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared him as condemned and expelled him from his court forever. And look at the description that is mentioned. He was once very handsome, beautiful, had a high rank, bestowed with so much of knowledge, was the teacher of the angels, was a great worshipper. And by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, By disrespecting a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, he became cursed. He became Iblis. He became hopeless in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an outcast forever, permanently. His face changed. How? It is mentioned that his face dropped down like that of a pig. His head was like that of a camel's head. His chest was like of a big camel's hump. His face was like that of a monkey. His eyes wide open. His nostrils opened up like a barber's bottle. His lips dropped down like the lips of a bull. His teeth were sticking out like that of a pig, and only 7 hairs were in his beard. In this condition, in this state of ugliness, he was thrown down from Jannah, from paradise. He was thrown down from the heavens and has become deserving of the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. And he employs many kinds of tricks and traps that he entraps people. He is the thief of Iman. Essentially, this is what he is after. He's after to corrupt people's Iman. And that is the most important thing for you and I as a Muslim, as a believer. If that is lost, everything is lost. Allah Azza wa Jal, for the sake of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, protect our Iman. Protect the Iman of our generations to come, of our offspring, of our family members as well. But he's after this, to corrupt it, so the person ends up losing the Iman. He's out to create quarrels and to destroy relationships between husband and wife, between parents and children, between siblings, to utterly destroy those relationships where family members, they don't talk to each other for months and for years. And some die in that condition as well. And he's behind all of these things with his evil whisperings, with his ploys and his traps. There is a narration that a person saw shaitan, sees him, that he's walking on a pathway towards a certain city, and he's got his finger in the air. He's pointing with his finger. And this person gets shocked, he gets afraid that shaitan is here. And he asks him that, what are you doing here? Who are you? I'm shaitan. And he asks, why is your finger up? He said, with this finger of mine, I destroy nations. I influence a city to destroy itself, and for the residents, for the citizens, to fight with each other. So the person was surprised. With your finger? Just with your finger? How? So shaitan told him, accompany me to the city that I'm heading towards, and I'll show you. The person goes, he's terrified, he's walking with shaitan. They reach the city. Shaitan, Iblis, the cursed and humiliated one, he goes to a confectioner, a baker. He tells the person, watch how I do this. The baker, the confectioner, is busy stirring a huge pot of boiling sugar water to make syrup. Shaitan goes, he dips his finger into that, and at the bottom of the wall, he rubs it there. He applies it. And now he's telling the person, watch the fun and games. For him, it's fun and games. He just wants to cause destruction. All of a sudden, a swarm of flies, they smell and they come and sit on this to eat that sugar paste or that syrup. The baker has a cat. The cat is walking around. In the meantime, a lizard sees the swarm of flies and runs down to eat it. It catches one fly, and all of a sudden, the baker's cat sees the lizard, runs towards it, grabs it. In the meantime, outside the shop, there are a few soldiers that are patrolling and walking by, and they have a dog. The dog sees the cat, goes towards it, jumps towards it. The cat gets afraid, jumps, and ends up falling into that boiling syrup and dies. The baker sees this, kills the dog. The soldiers enter, they witness it, they kill the baker. The baker's family, they come to know this, they go after those soldiers and they kill them. The chief of the army comes to find out about this and he says, these people, they are not worthy to be protected. And he tells his soldiers, go and raze the city to the ground. Destroy the city. All because of that starting point of Shaitan's finger. And this is how he creates. He creates those problems between husband and wife. This Iblis, this cursed and humiliated one, he enters his waswasas and evil whisperings into our minds. And if you have any evil whispering waswasa of Shaitan enter into your heart and mind, immediately recognize it. Because it's not going to be something good. It's always going to be something evil. Maybe ill thoughts, false assumptions for other Muslims, for other believers. Maybe thoughts of backbiting about another person, having jealousy, having arrogance, pride, showing off, riya. All these negatives, all these spiritual maladies, you need to identify it same time. You need to recognize it immediately. And Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah has mentioned a few times on Madani channel, when any evil whisperings of Shaitan, the cursed one, enters into our minds, into our hearts, same time recognize it and recite, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this cursed and humiliated Satan. And recite, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. Turn towards your left side. Towards your left side. And spit three times. Just the sound. Not actual saliva coming out. Just the sound. As if you are spitting on the face of Shaitan to chase him away. So identify. It's easy just to fight with each other. Shaitan will use somebody, maybe even close to us, could use somebody to attack us, could use somebody to demoralize us, demotivate us, to belittle us. And the person would not even realize that they have become a tool of Shaitan. If you want to fight with somebody, fight against the condemned Shaitan. Fight against your nafsul ammara, your ego. Because before Shaitan, there was no Shaitan. His ego, his self, his desires, his arrogance, his pride, that led to his destruction. So fight against your nafsul ammara, your ego, yourself, your desires. If you want to fight, then declare war against sins. Then fight against backbiting, slandering, tail-bearing, deception, all that which is haram and prohibited, fight against that. Fight against watching films, dramas, movies, soapies. Fight against sood, interest, usury, riba. If you want to fight against fraud, zina, adultery, fornication, alcohol abuse, drug abuse. Fight the problem. The problems that are there in our societies. If you want to fight, then show enmity towards evil assumptions, towards slandering, towards jealousy, towards pride. Fight against that. Fight against bribery and corruption, which is on the incline in so many parts of the world, so many countries, so many cities. Bribery and corruption. Fight against oppression and the oppressor. Fight against criminal syndicates and activities. Fight against all of these things. Fight against Shaitan, who is the open enemy. He's the open enemy. We have this slogan in Dawud Islami that Amir Ahl-Sunnat Damat Barakatum Al-Ali has taught us, that Shaitan ke khilaf jang jari rahega. Meaning, the war against Satan will continue. Will continue. That's the war. That's the battle we must engage in. By empowering ourselves, by developing our spirituality, starting with the 5 times salah. Starting with the performance of the 5 daily salahs properly. It must be done correctly. All the postures, all the recitations of the Quran in your salah, or even out of salah, your tasbihat in ruku, in sujood, keeping in mind the factors that break salah, the wajibat of salah, makruh tahrimi of salah. That's where knowledge comes to protect one. Knowledge acts as that shield, makes you aware that, okay, this is how it's done. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how I have to recite the Quran, with tajweed, with makharij, with tarteel. And subhanallah azza wa jal, Dawud Islam is there to arm us, to empower us with righteous, authentic Islamic knowledge. The facilities are available. The platforms are available. Online is available. The books, the booklets, the material are available. The specialized madrasa classes for grown-ups are available. Madrasatul Madina, Jamiatul Madina, Darul Madina, Subhanallah, the weekly sunnah inspired Ijtima, Madani Qafila for Islamic brothers. Oh, so many activities, so many departments. For what? For who? For you and me. For the ummah of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For us Muslims. To empower us, to teach us, to train us, to nurture us, so that we arm ourselves with these weapons to identify where's the booby traps, where's the iman blowing mind bombs of shaitan, where is he laying it, and how he tries to manipulate me, how he tries to market his evils and vices. And one of the most prominent marketing machines of shaitan, of iblis, is the entertainment industry. Whether it's the movie industry, the music industry, and also the sporting industry as well. These are distractions. These are there to try and manipulate our minds, to try and indoctrinate our minds into thinking a certain way, living a certain way, and adopting a certain lifestyle, certain branded clothing, certain, I have to have this and I have to have that, this car I need to have if I'm going to be somebody in society, I have to earn this amount of salary and wages and 6 figures if I'm going to be somebody in society, and I have to adopt the societal norms in order to fit into society. So he gives all of these teachings. You know what other teaching he gives? Through these marketing machines. He is the CEO of these entertainment industries, these kinds of entertainment industries. He's the CEO. He's the director. He's the producer. Allahu Akbar. And one of the things you may realize is that he creates such an environment where, and this he tries to feed into the young minds of our children and offspring. Your parents, okay, you know, but the old school, you know, they have their own ideas, and then they're backwards in, you know, the old school. Friends, yeah, friends are cool. With friends, you can chill, you can relax, be informal, be yourself. Don't have to be on your guard. They're not going to lecture you. They're not going to scold you. My friends, you know, we have a good time. We go out, we have fun, clean fun. We go to the clubs. You know, we, subhanallah, subhanallah. So he tries to create that distance between the parents and their children. But are you and I as parents, are we allowing that marketing and indoctrination to happen in our very own homes, whether via the television or the tablet, the internet, the social media? Are we responsible or partially responsible for that? For allowing shaitan to promote, to market his vices to my child? I play a big role you play a big role as a parent or as a grandparent, as an uncle, as an auntie, in educating, in doing tarbiyah, in upbringing, training, and nurturing our children out there. And their foundation is Islamic knowledge, Islamic teachings, Islamic values. Am I playing my part? I have to first empower myself to empower them. And this is where Dawud Islami comes into the picture. That it's there to empower us. It's a support structure. Do not delay. Don't delay. Join today. Involve yourself. Immerse yourself in the madani activities or in any department which appeals to you. And get involved. Get your children involved so that you know, my eyes will close tomorrow, but my children are in good hands. They are in this support structure of Dawud Islami, which is based on Quran and Hadith, Quran and Sunnah. Love for Sahaba Ikram, love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, love for Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt and Awliya Allah. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learn from our akabirin, we learn from our mashaykh, from the pious ones. And how was their connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How was the connection to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Sahaba ikram, to Ahlul Bayt, to Awliya Allah? I'm sure you heard of the giant scholar of Islam, Sayyidina Imam Shaykh Fakhruddin Razi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was blessed also immensely with knowledge, with wisdom, and he would debate with the great philosophers of his time, with the agnostics and atheists of his time. And they were no match for him. When the time of his passing arrived, his death arrived, Shaitan approached him and asked, "You spent your whole life in debating, in discussions. Do you even recognize Allah?" He replied, "Indeed, Allah is one." Shaitan asked for a proof. What proof do you have? He provided a proof to Shaitan, the outcast, the humiliated. Remember, at one stage he was the teacher of angels. Shaitan rebutted and refuted that proof of Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi. He then gave another proof. He broke that one. Ultimately, he provided 360 proofs. All were refuted. He became worried. "I'm about to leave this dunya. I'm about to taste death. I don't have any proof that Allah is one, that He's the only one worthy of worship." He became very saddened. In the meantime, at a very far off place, his spiritual master, his spiritual guide, Sayyiduna Shaykh Najmuddin Kubra rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, was performing wudu. And from there, he called out, "Oh Razi, why don't you say to that cursed one that I believe in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal without any proof?" And so that happened. And he passed away on iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him and forgive us for his sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's move to a quick short filler, a short clip on why was Satan cursed, and we'll be right back. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, even though Iblis originally belonged to jinns, he was considered to be one of the individuals from the angels, and the orders given to the angels also applied to him. Hence, he had also been officially commanded to fall in prostration, as it is explicitly stated in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ma mana'aka alla tasjuda idh amartuk." Allah said, what prevented you that you did not prostrate when I commanded you? So when he did not prostrate, Allah Almighty questioned him. O Iblis, why did you not prostrate along with the angels before the one whom I have created with my hands of power? Have you become arrogant now? Or were you from the arrogant ones well before? It is stated in Surah Al-Hijr. Ya Iblis, ma laka alla takuna ma'as-sajidin. O Iblis, what happened to you that you stayed apart from those prostrated? Ya Iblis, ma mana'aka an tasjuda lima khalaqtu bi yaday. Astakbarta an kunta min al-'ali. O Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating to the one whom I have created with my hands of power? Have you become arrogant now, or were you always amongst the arrogant ones? And when this question was posed to Iblis, Iblis replied in the following words, O Allah, you have created me from fire and created Adam from soil. As fire is superior to soil, I am superior to Adam. And it does not befit my status that I prostrate before a human being who is created from soil. In Surah Al-A'raf, it states regarding the answer of Iblis. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِّنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِّنْ طِينٍ, answered he, meaning Iblis. I am better than him. You created me from fire and created him from clay. This was the answer to the question which was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This clearly tells that what rejected Iblis from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that takabbur, was that arrogance which made him mardood, which made him rejected from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this very worst quality one can possess, arrogance, takabbur. We should be always ardous, humble, down to earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq and all of us to act upon. آمين بجاه النبي الأمين صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. And that's why Satan was cursed and remains cursed, will forever be cursed, and he wants to take as many human beings with him to the hellfire. He knows he is going one way ticket to Jahannam. There's no possibility of him entering into paradise, into Jannah. So he wants to take maximum people with him. He wants to corrupt people's iman with false beliefs under the name of Islam, under the name of pure Islam, or Islam to reform. So be wary of this. How do we be wary? By empowering ourselves with authentic Islamic knowledge. And Dawud Islami provides all of this. Join today, you will not regret it, and there'll be hope for our future generations through the will of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.